Governor, thanks for sitting down to talk. How does this budget affect those key indicators, those metrics that you follow that are supposed to be sort of the guideposts of your administration and what you're trying to do?
Well, it follows many of them. If you go back to the jobs one, it's about creating an environment for success. A number of things in this program are really geared towards where we have opportunities open today and in the future, such as STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, or vocational education, career tech education. So that's an area that we really want to emphasize, and that applies both in the education budget and the jobs part of the budget. So that's critically important. When you talk about helping our taxpayers be more successful, that's part of the tax relief program. If you talk about being healthy, healthy kids' dental, mental health, all those things fall into place there. Public safety in terms of bringing down violent crime. These are things that all show up on the dashboard, Rick.
Well, let's talk about one number because it's one that almost everyone follows, which is the unemployment rate. And there's been some improvement, but Michigan, I think, is still number four in the country in terms of the highest unemployment rate. What might we see on that metric alone as a result of this budget?
Yeah, well, we were number one. So if you looked at how many percentage points we've improved since the bottom of the Great Recession, we've improved more than any other state. So we should be proud of that. There is more work to be done. So the number that I track along with unemployment is private sector job creation, to actually look at the number of jobs created. And we have done very well on that, particularly at higher and middle income levels.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the specifics in this budget. If we had seen this level of investment that you've proposed, it's not a done deal, the legislature still has to adopt it, but if we had seen this level of investment in K-12 education, in universities in past years, would we be in a better place today?
Well, again, you have to realistically deal with the resources you have available. We didn't have those kind of dollars available. In fact, we had $1.5 billion deficit the first year I came into office. The next year we had some surplus. The next year a larger surplus. So that's why each year I'm very clear to say K-12 education, for example, we put more money in. But there was a limit on how much money we had. So as we've had more resources, we put it there. Or we've done smart things, like put it in savings. And again, we're doing well enough now. This is where that issue of tax relief can come into play.
Have you given up on $1.2 billion for road funding in this round?
I don't give up easy. That's part of relentless positive action. What I would say is it will be very challenging through the election, but I still think there could be good discussions, there could be good reforms that are more revenue neutral, and I think we need to keep this dialogue going about a comprehensive answer because, again, pothole season has started early this year, and I'm hearing from lots of citizens that we should do something, and it's only going to get worse if we don't.
Quickly talk about Detroit. Are you going to be able to sell this to the legislature, $17.5 million a year for 20 years? Why is that a good investment for taxpayers?
Well, I think it's a very good investment because it's about settling the case. It's not about bailing out the debts of Detroit, but focusing on retirees, about people that are going to have a cut during this process and how to make that cut less, about how to help people in need. The other part is, wouldn't it be great to resolve this case faster and better? And how much is that worth in terms of the image, the attitude, the view of Michigan and Detroit around the world? Those are very worthwhile things that I think are at least as valuable as $17.5 million.